Welcome to episode 527 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Actually, not any game stuff to talk to you tonight, to talk to you about at all tonight, which would normally make Richard probably kind of happy, but unfortunately Richard couldn't make it this week, so you get two episodes in a row where it's just me. So this is also the first time that I'm trying to use Twitch, and I think it's all working out pretty well here. So next week you can join us. We tend to do this around 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday nights. There's always tweets about when we do this show live. And you can go right to the website and click the live button, or go to our Twitch channel, which is Digital Media Zone, and you can follow us over there so that you get notified from Twitch also if you are a big Twitch user. All right, so if you want to send us some feedback, you can do that by emailing us, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, which we've got a little bit of that. We've also got a tweet that we'll get to in a little bit. So first, let's start off with the email from Rob. And he was following up on the homework assignment. He's the only one who turned in his homework. Guys, come on. So he did give me a list of 10 channels that he thinks that he would need to really call it an a la carte TV package that would work for him. Here's the problem. And this is where the rest of his email continues. The problem in my household is that my 10 is completely different from my wife's 10, which is also different from the 10 for the kids. Yeah, that is the problem. He says, on a side note, I'd like to offer up my personal experience about one of the highly touted benefits of cord cutting is that you can only pay for what you want by pausing services and activating services as needed. That sounded great to me on paper, but in practice, it was just too much trouble. With five people in the house, keeping track of who was watching what each month was tiring and annoying, especially when they would inevitably change their minds multiple times per month. I just found it was easier to pay the convenience fee for a lower tier cable package and not have to deal with the hassle. Am I paying more than I need to? Absolutely. But I also pay for DoorDash and Uber Eats and a whole lot of other services that take the little stresses out of my life and let me not have a mental breakdown when my daughter chooses Trolls World Tour for family movie night again. Love the show, guys. Rob, thanks a lot for the message. Man, do I feel your pain on your kids choosing Trolls movies to watch on family movie night. Yikes. We haven't had to watch Trolls World Tour yet, but I'm sure that one's coming. And Rob does point out the really hard problem with that homework assignment. How do you pick 10 channels that everyone in your house could agree on would be enough? Because just for me, I could consume 7 or 8 on my own, and I don't even watch very much. So I think it is a pretty tough challenge for anybody to come up with, except for maybe you people who are single. That probably works. Now, I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about the problem that he mentions with the flexibility of being able to cancel services whenever you want. Like, that is a really great thing. You know, if you've watched everything that you care about on Netflix, you can cancel because there aren't contracts. You know, that is what's really nice about Netflix and Hulu and CBS All Access and Disney Plus and all of these services. Like, basically none of them require lengthy contracts, but you do end up typically subscribed to a lot of them. And while, like Rob said, you could turn them off sporadically, that gets difficult. I wanted to throw out a couple of options. The first one is, yeah, I know you've got five people in your house, and I don't mean this to come out as like some tyrannical dictator idea, but What if he had just said, you know, for this month, we're just not going to have Netflix. You still have Hulu. You still have Disney Plus. You're fine. And then next month, you cancel Hulu and turn Netflix back on. Something like that. I think that could work for some people. GP3 in the chat is saying that would be a fight. It might be a fight, but there's so much content out there. It might not be a fight for long because there is so much to watch. But if it is too big of a fight, I've got another option to throw out there for you. What about, subscribe to everything you want and then use PlayOn or a similar service, if anything either does it as well as PlayOn, to record all of the shows that people actually care about. So my daughter's pestering me to sign back up for Netflix again because she wants to watch the Babysitter's Club series. Okay, so maybe I sign up for a month, record all of those on PlayOn, put them on my Plex server, and then I can cancel Netflix for the month. It's an option, might be worth considering. Another option that I hadn't thought of that Tony in the chat suggests is see which services that you already subscribe to give you access to some of these streaming services. His examples, Verizon Unlimited is currently giving a lot of people Disney Plus for free. Some of the AT&T services are giving people access to HBO Max for free. That's a great tip. Thanks, Tony. All right, and then we also got a few tweets from Bust Out on Twitter. He just replied to one of the tweets where we notified everybody of the latest episode of this show. That's perfectly acceptable. I kind of missed him at first, unfortunately, but he reminded us, and then we got to see these messages. So he sent us a few things. I'm only going to hit on the one of the main concepts that he hit on. He says, when you talk about being limited with streaming, when you have cable TV and not a streaming TV service like YouTube TV, and what he's talking about here is like, if you subscribe to Comcast, you can really only watch Comcast in your house and on your TV, the places where you have the boxes. Whereas with YouTube TV, you can watch it on basically all of your devices, your tablets, your phones, everything, and outside of the house on all of those same devices. And this point that he's about to bring up, I thought we brought up, because we've definitely talked about this in the past, but maybe we missed it on that last episode. He says that when you do subscribe to cable, you typically also get access to all of the individual networks and their streaming services. So like NBC Sports has a streaming service, ESPN has their app, and you can sign into all of those with your Comcast credentials or whoever your cable provider is and watch content through those apps. And that works. It absolutely works. And it even works outside of the house. The main problem there, though, is that now it's just a tremendous amount of apps. You know, with YouTube TV, it's one app on your phone or your tablet. If you want to watch NBC Sports and ESPN and, HGTV, I don't even know if they do that. I've really only paid attention to the sports ones. Then I have to log in to every single one of those apps on my phone and my tablet and my wife's phone and the kids' tablet, all of that stuff. And it's a lot to set up. It's kind of a pain. So that is one of the advantages, but Bust Out is absolutely correct. You do have those options in most cases where you're subscribing to a pay TV service. He also wanted to talk a little bit about how HBO Max is doing their account validation and how it's being done in a better way than some other services. But to be honest, I didn't fully understand how it was different. And I wanted to have Richard on to talk about that because Richard subscribes to these things and would have probably more to say about that particular comment. But that's it for our feedback. So now I'm going to jump into the news for the week. And as usual, we're going to start with some video news. First up, soccer. Yeah, we don't talk about a lot of soccer, or as pretty much anyone outside of the U.S. would call it, football. Real football, I suppose. So for those of you in the United States who do call it soccer, well, a couple of big announcements over the last week. Peacock, that's the unfortunately named streaming service from NBC, it's actually launching in full this week. It launches on July 15th, they announced that they're going to be streaming over 175 Premier League matches next season. So Premier League is one of, maybe it's basically the biggest soccer / football league in the world, like in terms of like, you know, quality players. I think it is. I'm not that big of a soccer fan, so I don't know all of this stuff. I'm one who loves World Cup and I love watching the Olympics, but I'm not one who's sitting down to watch extra soccer matches other than those. So Peacock getting Premier League. Now, we've talked in the past about how Peacock actually has three different tiers, a free tier, a premium tier, and then an ad-free premium tier. You are going to need to at least subscribe to Peacock Premium to be able to watch these matches. And that's going to set you back $4.99 a month. I said they're going to show you 175 games live, but it's probably not going to include the really, really popular matches. You know, if this was like US football, you know, like they probably wouldn't be showing you the Patriots versus the 49ers. You know, that's sort of like really big, you know, big team, two of the best teams playing each other. It's probably still just going to be on their cable TV service. That's how these things tend to go. But through Peacock, they are going to be offering full replays of all of the games, every single one, after 9 p.m. every night. So if Manchester United, I think, is a Premier League team, if they played at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you could watch that game after 9 p.m. Eastern. So there you go. That's an option. And then the other thing that I just wanted to hit on with Peacock is they are doing a promotion right now. I don't know how much longer this will last, but if you're willing to pay for a year subscription, and I know I was just talking about how you don't have to sign subscriptions and contracts with these guys, but sometimes you get a deal. If you do sign up for a one-year contract of premium, right now you can get that for $29.99, which is a 40% savings. So if you're a big time Premier League soccer fan, then go for that. Ah, nuts. GP3 in the live chat. We're recording this on July 14th. He says that that promo ends today. So unless you're in the live chat, you're going to miss out on that offer. We actually have another soccer story here. Our second video story is our second soccer story. Don't worry. This is it. No more soccer after this story. So I believe this is typically pronounced UEFA. It's UEFA. Champions League Soccer is going to be available on a different streaming service. So this, I believe, is the other major soccer league in Europe. And they're going to be moving all of their content over to CBS All Access and CBS Sports. Now, I don't think CBS Sports has their own separate subscription app. I think that's more like NBC Sports and some of those other guys. I was going to say ESPN there. That's why I paused. But ESPN kind of does have, they have ESPN Plus. I don't think there's anything like that for CBS Sports. So CBS is going to have access to all of the UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, and UEFA Europa Conference League throughout 2024. If you want to watch all of that on CBS All Access, they have two pricing tiers. One of them, the base tier, is $5.99 a month. That does have ads. If you want an ad-free experience, it's $9.99 a month. Again, I wonder if they're going to be doing a similar thing with the really premium matchups. Like, are those only going to be available on CBS Sports, on cable TV? So if you're a cord cutter, you still kind of miss out on a lot of those. I don't know. I hope that's not the case with this offering, because man, what Peacock is doing, that sounds like a really, really great deal for you big Premier League or just soccer fans in general. Our last video news story of the episode is hardware. It's not often we talk about a lot of video hardware, but we have new DVR models to talk about, this time from Tableau. Tableau made itself known a few years ago by offering a DVR that you could purchase that didn't include storage and also didn't have an HDMI cable. You would record to it, you know, over the air, but to watch any of it, you'd have to watch through apps. And eventually they started adding some models that had a little bit of storage, like 64 megabytes of storage. That's not much. They've now stepped up and are offering some devices that have more storage built in. Now, if you don't want these options, they do offer ones that don't have built-in storage. And well, how does that work? Well, you just have to bring your own hard drive and plug it into the USB port in the back. And that's totally fine. But maybe you're wanting to buy one of these for a family member or something like that, and they're not the most technically capable, and you don't want them to accidentally unplug the hard drive or something like that. Now you can buy some Tableau DVRs with reasonable amounts of storage. So we've got two options here. One of them is a dual tuner box that has 128 gigs of storage. That's about 80 hours of HD content. That's going to set you back $170. The other option has 1 terabyte of storage, which is good for about 700 hours of content. That has 4 tuners in it, and that will run you about $240. Both of them can still be expanded. You can, if you've got an 8 terabyte USB hard drive, you can use it. But it would act like, if that's the option you want to go with, it's actually a little bit easier, perhaps, to go with the 128 gig option, the two tuner model, because the quad tuner model, if you want to use a giant hard drive like that, you actually have to basically replace the internal drive. And in some cases, that might be better. Maybe you don't want the extra drive hanging off the back and that sort of thing. But I also wonder, you're probably going to need 4 tuners if you actually need 8 terabytes of storage, right? I mean, that is so much content. And if you're thinking, I'm never going to pay these guys extra for storage, like, I know how to buy a hard drive. It's not expensive. It's not hard. I can handle this. Well, I believe you. If you're listening to the show, I 100% believe you. But you might want to do it anyways, because you're hardly paying anything for the storage. The 128 gig model, the two tuner box, it's only $20 more than the version that doesn't have storage. And the one that comes with the 1 terabyte on the four tuner model, that one is only $40 more. So for $40 to just have it built in and be done and not have to worry about it, I think that's the route I would go. All right, on to some audio news. Two stories in the audio segment tonight, and they're both about Spotify. Maybe it's a good week for Richard to be off, since I think he's still kind of anti-Spotify. So first up, Spotify is really, really, really trying to up their game in the podcast market space. So obviously Spotify has been purchasing podcast studios, and they've got some really big exclusives now that are only available on Spotify. They are trying to get you to spend even more time listening to podcasts through Spotify, though. And the best way to do that is to make it easy for people to find good shows. There are really two ways of doing that, right? One is, give us a list of all the top shows, especially if you can break it down by genre. So they're doing that now. They have just straight up top podcast, which is the top. I don't even know how long that list is. I scrolled through at least 30 or 40, so maybe it's 50. And then they also have top podcast by, I think it might have been 8 or 9 different genres. So you've got like history and technology and sports and comedy and things like that. So lots of different categories to choose from. And then they've also got a separate section that's called trending podcasts. Now, they don't break trending podcasts down by genre. It's just one. And this one is more algorithm based. So it gives you the opportunity to find new podcasts, because brand new podcasts, they're going to have a hard time breaking into the top list because they're new. So trending podcast, go there, find the latest things that are new but are developing a little bit of a following. They're not really letting us know exactly what all factors into that algorithm. But you might find some stuff in there that you might want to listen to if you're using Spotify for listening to podcasts. And I'm still really curious, how many people are using Spotify for podcasting? I use Spotify for almost all of my music listening, but I don't use it for podcasting. Like, I'm a hardcore podcaster, right? I think most of you are probably hardcore podcast listeners and have your favorite app, whether it be Pocket Cast or, you know, there's lots of good ones out there, right? And you want your podcast to do a lot of different things for you, playback speed and automatically, you know, skipping over pauses in shows and giving you the ability to automatically skip the beginning of a show. Like, there are all sorts of other features that lots of these more well-established podcast apps have that Spotify doesn't. But Spotify sure does make it easy for people who are brand new to podcasting. So I'm curious how many people are actually using it. I know that my wife, who's not huge into podcasts, she's using Spotify because it is super easy and she's already using it for her music. So how many of you are using Spotify? And if you're not, how many of the people you know are using Spotify? And maybe is the last question, if a friend or a family member said, I kind of want to check out some of these podcasts that I'm hearing about, what's the easiest way to do that? What would you recommend to people? Would you recommend something like Pocket Cast, or would you recommend Spotify? All right, well, that's actually it for our news tonight. There's not a lot of gaming news happening right now. We're waiting on these new video game consoles to be fully announced. And by that, I mean dates. Let us know when these things are going to be available to be in my living room and tell me how much these things are going to cost. We still don't know that yet. And summer is kind of a slow period for games anyway. There have been some studios doing some bigger events showcasing new games. But frankly, I found it hard to get all that excited about most of them. Just don't think they've been that interesting, because I really think we're just waiting to find out, like, what are going to be the really big things for this next generation? And we still don't really know. At least I hope we don't really know. So before I jump into what's going on in my entertainment center, I just want to ask you a quick favor. If you like the show, do us a favor and share it with a friend, whether that's posting about it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. You know, maybe take a screenshot of your favorite podcast app, playing the podcast, post it out on Instagram, let people know about this show. We would really, really appreciate that. All right, so what is going on in my entertainment center? Well, let's start with books. I know I keep talking about books. I've been reading a lot of books. Jen still got me hooked on this Throne of Glass series that is one of her absolute favorites. I finished the second book, and I'm now on to book three in that series. It is called Heir of Fire. It's been really good so far. I'm about a quarter of the way through it. You know, one of the things that I don't know, I probably should have asked this before I agreed to read this book series. I don't know how many books are in this series. I don't know what I've actually signed myself up for here, but so far it's been pretty good reading. So if you're into fantasy novels, then the Throne of Glass series I found to be really, really good. On the gaming front, of course, I played some Call of Duty this weekend. Of course, I played a little bit of NHL this weekend. But one game that I kind of keep forgetting to talk about, probably because it's on PlayStation and I just don't think about my PlayStation all that much, is I have been working through The Last of Us. Not The Last of Us 2, the one, you know, that one just came out about a month ago. No, the first one, the remastered version that they released on PlayStation 4. Working my way through that. It is a good game. It's a really good game. You know, I like single player story based games. It's kind of tough to be playing a game that's about a pandemic, a pandemic that caused an apocalypse, basically, and in this case, a zombie apocalypse, when we're living through a pandemic right now. And it is a serious, fairly depressing game, at least so far. So you've definitely got to be in the mood to be playing a game like The Last of Us right now. But it's really good. The story's been really interesting. It's hard, though. Like, I don't know if I'm just getting really bad at video games, maybe it's just something in this game, but I am finding this game to be a lot more challenging than I would expect it to be. I've even gone in and turned all of the difficulty stuff down, you know, put it in baby mode, basically. Like, I just want to experience the story, but I am dying a lot and having to redo things a lot. And some of the puzzly things have taken me a little bit longer to figure out than I would like, but overall, it's still a good game. So I think I'm probably a little more than halfway through at this point. I would like to get it finished just because I haven't finished a lot of games recently, so that would be nice. And I want to find out if I want to play The Last of Us 2, and how the rest of this game goes is going to influence a lot of that, I think. Plus, I've basically not read any information at all about The Last of Us 2 because I don't want the ending of this game spoiled for me. So I know there's some controversy out there about the new game, the sequel. I don't really know what all those controversies are about because, again, don't want the first game spoiled. So we'll see. Hopefully in the next week or two, I can finish up The Last of Us. Now, I really wish Richard was here for this last one. There is one show that I've been watching and finished. I watched the entire series, finished it up, and it's on Quibi. I think I mentioned this last week. Been watching the most Dangerous Game on Quibi with Liam Hemsworth. It's a good show. It's kind of making me like Quibi more. The idea of 10-minute episodes, it works. Like, I know a lot of people think it's a dumb idea, but to throw an episode of that on as I'm, you know, getting up from my computer or whatever it is that I'm doing at the end of the day, you know, because then I've got to go and I gather my clothes for the next day, and then I got to brush my teeth and take out my contacts and all that sort of stuff. And all of that stuff takes 10, 15-ish minutes. I can watch / listen to an entire episode of a show, or maybe two, while I'm doing all of that stuff at night. Now, it does mean that I have to take a 10 or 15-minute break from podcast, which is kind of a harder thing for me to do and to justify, especially when I'm also trying to listen to audiobooks. But it was a good show. I really enjoyed it. I finished it this weekend, binged the last 4 episodes. And, you know, the nice thing about saying that you binged 4 episodes of a show on Quibi is it means you didn't spend 4 hours. It means you spent 40 minutes. So that's not so bad. Not a bad thing at all. But that's it for what's going on in my entertainment center, which means that's also it for this episode. So if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us all over the place. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You should also head on over to the website, or maybe to Spotify, and check out our other podcast. Richard's other show is called Home On. It is always catching up with what are the latest things going on in the DIY smart home space. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we do the show live most of the time, and it's usually Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We're now using Twitch. Got a few people in there tonight. I'm wondering how it's gone for them tonight. I think it's been good. Good. It's got a little bit more of a delay to it than Mixer did, which is what we used to use. But I think overall, it's been going pretty well. So I'm sure we will be back with Twitch next week, because that's going to do it for episode 527. I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.